Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. When he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" Well, that's always nice right in the middle of your teaching, isn't it? And that is the abruptness, the attitude, the tone that is expressed here. You know, and so we have to wonder, what was the motivation for them to come into where he was teaching in the courtyard there at the temple and to really accost him, to confront him, to interrupt him, to be so abrupt and so rude? And by what authority are you doing this? But they were motivated by envy. They were motivated by hatred. They weren't curious. Can you imagine if somebody came up and said, and let me read it to you. Let me read it to you differently this time. "By what authority dost thou these things?" Y'all think that's how they said it? Who gave thee this authority? You know, there's a difference in the way we can ask a question. And so the question that they're asking of Jesus, who do you think you are? They're not asking out of curiosity. They're not asking because they are intrigued and they want to know. They're not asking in search of truth. It's one thing if we ask in search of truth. But they weren't asking in search of truth. They were asking out of hatred. Why? Go back to verse number 12. Jesus went into the temple of God. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." So you know what the chief priest would tell us. He started it. he started it. But the difference is he was right. The difference is that's supposed to be a house of worship, a house of prayer. It's not supposed to be a yard sale. It's not what it's for. And so, you know, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to churches doing that kind of stuff, but this is a sanctuary. And the biggest problem I've always had with that is, you ever bought somebody else's toaster? You get home, it's not going to work, is it? Right, Brother Robert? Oh, man. And that's the one thing I always feel bad, because if you have a yard sale at church, somebody buys your toaster, they get home, it doesn't work. They paid you $20 for it, now they feel ripped off. And who do they associate that bad toaster with? The church. Not you, your home. And so that's the problem I have with it. But Jesus is, look, he's throwing them out. He's mad. He's upset. He had offended them, so now they're trying to find fault in him. There now, it's not about a curiosity. It's not about a wonder. They want to embarrass him in front of his people. They want to intimidate him and his disciples. They want to sow doubt among the followers. They're trying to get even. That's what they're doing. And yes, he started it, but he started it by trying to correct them for doing wrong. And of course, it wasn't that they were the ones necessarily at the tables, but they were the ones that approved it. And so they're offended. So they say, by whose authority? Well, let me ask you a question. How many people has he healed? Not far from here, there was a man at the pool at Bethesda. Cripple. They had this tradition that said the angel will come down and stir the water, and the first person to get in the water is healed. And he said, but I got nobody to put me in the water, and I can't walk. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, just get your stuff and go home. Take it up and walk out of here. And did he do that? He did. The people that he raised from the dead, The people that he healed, muteness, deafness, leprosy, seizures, whatever. And now, after all that he's done, that they know he's done, they challenge his authority. Well, let me ask you a question. By whose authority can you do that? By what power can this stuff be done? They weren't interested in truth. They were interested in games. They were interested in intimidation. They could not see. Guys, this is so important. Please hear this. They could not see beyond their hatred to see the good he has done. Guys, please. I know that there are people that we don't like. I know that people do things that offend us. But at some point, we've got to be able to look beyond the hatred that we've built up because we don't like them and see that what they're doing is good. And praise them for what good they do. But we're so blind by our jealousy, by our envy, that we can't see that. And I'm talking about down the line. I mean even your in-laws, everybody. Look beyond the jealousy and the hate and the envy and see the good. We talked about that when we talked about praying, thanking God for each one. And it helps to build our appreciation for people. So Jesus turns the tables on them. In verse 24, he says, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I, and likewise, will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? Ooh. See, here's the problem. They didn't like John either. But John was someone that the people loved. John was somebody that the crowds adored. Many had gone out to Bethphara, to the Jordan, where John baptized, and they listened to him, and they loved this. So see, he wasn't a high society preacher. He was somebody they could relate to, somebody that they felt comfortable listening to. Now, he challenged them on their sin. He challenged them on their faith, but people loved him. And what happened? Now they can't criticize John the Baptist. Now they can criticize Jesus openly. But see, John the Baptist was well established. His reputation was strong. Think about that. They couldn't criticize John, but they could criticize the Son of God. They couldn't criticize the prophet, but they could criticize the Savior. Messed up thing. But Jesus knew it. And he laid it out there, and they said, oh, we can't do that. It's a trap. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say it's from heaven, he will say unto us, oh, why do you not then believe me? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. By the way, can you give me scripture for a single miracle that John the Baptist ever performed? Can't. And yet Jesus is going around healing people, raising them from the dead. But they criticize him. But they won't criticize John. I mean, even a simple, did John even turn the water to wine? I say it's simple, I can't do it. But, but they'll criticize Jesus, they won't criticize John. Incredible. And so they answer Jesus, verse 27, we cannot tell. Well, the deal was, if you tell me, I'll tell you. You don't tell me, I don't tell you. We cannot tell. He said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But I want you to know something. He didn't tell them, but he told us. He told his disciples. It's clear in Scripture. We know that Jesus is, number one, he's God. Number two, he's the Savior, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He's the way, the truth, the life. He told them, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I come in my Father's name. I do my Father's work. I'm not here on my own. I'm doing the will of the Father. The Father, the Father, the Father. So there's no doubt He told us what authority, but he didn't tell them. Because they didn't meet the standard. They didn't keep up their end of the deal. But then he tells a parable. He says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons. Well, who's the man? Well, the father. And who are the two sons? Well, you know, I kind of toyed with trying to classify who the two sons were. But that's kind of hard. Because we may not fit in one of these two categories here on the front side. We all fit in one of two categories on the back side. He had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard. Okay, two things about that. He said, one, work. Go work. Well, that's easy to evaluate, isn't it? What are we doing for God? I don't mean collectively. Guys, when we sit in church, we're not judging ourselves as a church. When we're being judged, when we're assessing, evaluating, asking God to search our hearts, the question is not what is everybody on my team doing? The question is, what am I doing? What am I doing? When it comes to invitation time, it's not who's going to go forward, it's do I need to go forward. It's not who's in here going to get saved, do I need to get saved. Those, look, in here we deal with me. We won't deal with everybody. Go work. What am I doing? What's the next thing he said? What's the next word? Today. See, we like to think about judgment. We're going to stand before God and give an account of all things which we've done in this body, whether it be good, whether it be evil. And we can look back on all of our years and all that we've done. And some of us have done some stuff in our younger years that we're proud of. I talk to people and they'll tell me how proud. Boy, you wouldn't believe what I used to do. Let me ask you a question. What did he say? When did he say? He said today. So my question is not what did you do. My question is, what are you doing? What are we doing today? What am I doing today? Guys, this is big stuff. I know we have ups and downs, and I know we have good days and bad days, and I know some days we can't. But as a rule, what are we doing today? Go work today in my vineyard. He didn't say pick out a vineyard and work. He said mine. He didn't say go find the neighbor and help them. He said my vineyard. Now, of course, how do we serve God? We serve God by serving others. But that's the point. His vineyard. Well, he answered and said, I will not. You ever think about saying that to your dad? I will not. I don't think he really would have knocked me in the next week. But I believed it. I believed it. I don't want my kids, I don't want to discipline my kids, but I want them to believe I will. I want them to understand when I say do it, you know, my thing to say is don't make me get out of my chair. They know what that means. I want them to believe it. I don't want to do it, but I want them to believe I will. And so he says, I will not. Wow. That's not honorable, is it? But see, God calls to us and says, go work today in my vineyard. And we feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. He's compelling us to go. He's telling us what to do. What did God tell you to do today? Call somebody? Visit somebody? Smile at somebody? Be nice to somebody? Pray for somebody? What did God tell you to do for someone today? And the Holy Spirit moves on us and says, I want you to do this. Now, maybe it's read your Bible. Maybe it's write a letter. Maybe it's give an offering. Whatever it is. And I don't mean give an offering to the church. Sometimes God lays it on our heart to give some money to somebody else. But whatever it is, what did God lay on your heart? And what did you say? Did you say, I will not? Did you talk yourself out of it? Did you tell God how that wasn't a good idea? I remember Moses. Don't you remember Moses? God said, I need you to do a job. Moses said, Lord, I'm not your guy. And the Lord said, you're the man. He said, no, I can't even talk well. He said, well, your brother's coming over the hill. He'll talk for you. Now what? Hey, don't give God excuses. He will send the help you need. He will not just take no for an answer. I will not. But I like the second part of that verse, don't you? And I wonder, as I think about this man, now look, this is a son. Doesn't say he was a boy. He was a son. And I think about as he walked away from there, and I think about what was going on in his mind. Maybe he was thinking about going to see some girlfriend. Or maybe he was going to go fishing. Or again, nothing wrong with girlfriends and nothing wrong with fishing. But he had something on his mind, something he wanted to do instead of what God told him to do or the Father told him to do. And he said, I don't want to do that today. And he started on his way to do what he was going to do. And it got to him. And he realized, I really need to go do that. I don't know, maybe he was walking by the vineyard and he saw some weeds and thought, I really need to go do that. Or maybe he saw some clusters of grapes that needed to be harvested and he thought, I really need to go do that. Or maybe he thought about the weather and how in a couple of days it wasn't going to be a good day to do it and it needed to be done today, just like the Father said. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I don't know what comes across us to talk us into doing what God tells us to do, but we ought to do it. Reasons. Well, he went. And I wonder this. I wonder if he just went because he got to thinking about how much his dad meant to him. I wonder if he just thought, I shouldn't have told my dad no. I should have just said yes, sir, and gone. I don't know. Doesn't tell us. Maybe he asked himself, if I don't go, who's going to do it? If I don't do it, who will? Because I'll tell you something, there are people out there who need to be saved. And if we don't talk to them about it, who's going to? A lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they don't talk to other people about Jesus and about salvation. And if they won't do it, we've got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Running out of time. If not me, who? If not us, who? Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, yes, sir, I go, sir. You bet, Dad. I'm your guy. I'm going to get it done. Y'all read the rest of that verse. And went not. Y'all know anybody like that? All, what do they call it? All hat and no horse. All talk, no action. Big talk. What I'm going to do for God. But didn't go. And here's my question about that fella. Did he ever even intend to go? Did he ever think he would? Did he think, Dad needs me to go and I'm going to go. And then he walked outside and something distracted him. He's on his way to the vineyard and he remembered, oh, there was something else I wanted to do for me today. Dad's work will have to wait. Is that what happened? Did he just say what the Father expected him to say? You know, I think about this, and when we talk about leading people to Christ, you know, there are churches that still do go door to door, knock on the door, and I've done that. But I'll tell you what really turned me off to that was when I got to the door and the man just said everything I wanted him to say. And I don't believe he's saved today.
He just went along with it. You know why? To get me off his porch. He was ready to do whatever as long as I'd get off his porch. You know why? Because he is like brother number two. Yes, sir, whatever you need, I'm your guy. And then closed the door and went to bed. Closed the door and went back doing what he was doing. And then I left him alone. You know, I like to talk to people about Jesus who want Jesus. I like to talk to people about salvation and lead them in a sinner's prayer, if you will, a prayer for salvation, if they're ready to be saved. Not just to get me off their porch. He said, I'll go, sir, but he went not. Just say it to pacify his dad? Maybe. I know you say it's a parable, preacher. You're reading too much into it. No, I'm just trying to understand these two sons. And I'm trying to see which one I am. Verse 31, whether the twain did the will of his father, who did right, who did what was expected, the one who said what was expected or the one who did what was expected? Well, there's no question, is it? Not even for them, not even for those who were criticizing Jesus and hated Jesus and were trying to make him out to be an imposter, a fraud. Jesus, they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I mean, let me tell you something. In Jerusalem, there was no worse sinner in the eyes of religious people than publicans and harlots. Because they would do anything for money. They had no integrity when it came to getting money. They just had no barriers. And these elders and these chief priests who were complaining about Jesus and complaining to Jesus despised publicans and harlots. And the last people they ever wanted to be compared to were publicans and harlots. And Jesus said, they'll be in front of you at the gate. They'll get in before you get in. Why is that? Verse 32, he brings up John again. John came to you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Remember when he said, let me ask you, the baptism of John, was it of God? And they got together and they said, well, we can't say that because who? The people like John. Not we like John. Not we believe John. The people believe John. They were not disciples of John. They were not convinced by John's preaching. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a man of God, and he preached to them. He preached it plain. He preached stuff people didn't like to hear. And many were converted, but not them. But they were friendly toward John because the people liked him. They wouldn't criticize John because the people liked him. But guess who did believe? Publicans and harlots. And when ye had seen it, what are we talking about? We're talking about harlots that got saved and got right with God. We're talking about publicans. I mean, y'all understand, these are tax collectors. These are politicians, anything for money, take advantage of people, cheat people, publicans. But they got right with God. They got right with God and gave people money they had stolen and confessed to their cheating. They got right with God and turned their lives around. They did that. And these religious people saw those dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinners get saved and get right. And it didn't influence them at all. I'm going to tell you something. You want to know what encourages me? You want to know what convinces me? You want to know what really makes my heart swell? It's not about the growth of the church. It's about the growth of the Christians in the church. It's about the people that I've seen come in here and they give their lives to Christ and God just begins to bless them and their lives begin to overflow and you can see the joy. You can see the Spirit of God on them. Look, it's the power of God. That's what impresses me. I see what God's done. I'll tell you what. He said, and when you had seen it, you repented not afterward. When they saw the power of God at work in their city, they didn't get right. You know why? Because they were already righteous. They didn't need God. They were religious. They had the temple. They had the following. They had the authority. You repented not afterward that ye might believe. Others saw the error of their ways. Listen to me. Others saw the errors of their ways, and these people only looked for the errors in other people, not in themselves. Guys, we've got to take a look in here. It's easy to find other people to criticize. It's easy to find other people who are out of God's will. It's easy to identify sin in somebody else's life. But you want to know what gets hard is when we start cutting it out of our own. It's one thing to take your appendix out. It's another thing for me to take mine out. By the way, I'm not a surgeon. You don't want me taking yours out either. But you understand the difference? The difference is if I take your appendix out, it doesn't hurt me. If I take mine out, all of a sudden there's some pain involved. And when I point out the sin in your life, it doesn't hurt me a bit. But when I let God point out the sin in my life, and when I'll get real raw and honest and let God show me where I'm wrong, that hurts. And that's what they missed. Let's stand. Father, we are so grateful for your word and for these life stories that Jesus gave us. God, please don't let us get like these chief priests and elders who can only see the errors in others, the faults of others, and not in ourselves. God, as we stick to your word and we follow your plan and we serve you and our lives get better and our behavior gets better and our sin begins to diminish or maybe even dissipate, let us never forget where we came from and all that you've done for us. Dismiss us now with your grace. Answer the prayers that are in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.